Flash Radio is a podcast from and about the GA 2007 in Heiligendamm, Germany. During the first week of June 2007, the summit of the 8 richest and most powerful states in the world will take place in Heiligendamm near the city of Rostock on the Baltic coast of Germany. The politics of the G8 have triggered criticism and worldwide protest for a long time. During the 2007 summit in Germany, this will be visible in its various forms. Flash Radio interview teams will cover the alternative summit, blockades, actions and workshops, but will also deliver audible portraits of groups and individuals who have come to campaign and work for change. We will broadcast a daily half-hour news summary from the 2nd of June through till the 10th. For more information, go to www.flashradio.wordpress.com.
The G8, a powerful group representing the 7 most developed industrialized nations in the world, plus Russia, have been meeting in Rostock on the Baltic coast of northern Germany. So too have thousands of protesters from across the globe, brought together to demonstrate against state repression, corporate control and the wholesale takeover of other nations' resources and economies. These people are converging on the ancient port city of Rostock in an effort to block the summit and establish an agenda built around sustainability and peace. In the last few days, hundreds of people have been arrested and beaten by police. Thousands more have been detained in and around the city as the German authorities exercise a repressive campaign of state control. Nevertheless, protests have continued and events have been staged with the aim of disrupting the summit and highlighting the vibrant alternatives to global capitalism. On the podcast today, we will be checking out the key events over the last few days, including a massive demonstration against the further industrialization of agriculture, as well as looking behind the scenes at the self-organization which has helped accommodate tens of thousands of people who are now based in Rostock for the protests. Our first report, however, compiled by do-it-yourself media activists on the streets of Rostock, details what has been happening in the lead-up to this massive global event. A mix of colourful and largely peaceful demonstrations, music and laughter has been opposed by heavy-handed policing by riot control officers, water cannon and tear gas. It's all been happening.
I'm standing here in a big square, just absolutely masses of police. Lots of riot cops have just jumped out of their vans. They're all marching at this moment. There's a big group of say 50 in twos. They're kind of like behind the scenes of the march that's happening parallel to the road. There must be about 30 vans, green and white vans. The cops are wearing riot gear. They're dressed in very dark green with helmets, truncheons and all the stuff. And they're walking now. People are just kind of like, these people that are staring look like local people. They're walking towards a demonstration, but the demonstration looks like it's over actually. It's the kind of very fluffy demo that went on, started at 1 o'clock, it's now 2:30. The vans are moving out as I speak, you can hear them. I'm on the train now and I just saw 6 helicopters leaving. It looked like a landing launch pad from the Rostock campsite, actually.
With billions of dollars of profit at stake, biotech companies such as Monsanto and Bayer AG have been at the forefront of trying to take control of many aspects of agricultural production around the world. The G8 has been discussing issues connected to this valuable aspect of global trade. Today, the 3rd of June, up to 80,000 people took to the streets of Rostock to highlight their concern at the privatization of nature itself. This huge demonstration, attended by people from India to Germany, the UK to Ghana, aimed to demonstrate the vibrant and fertile resistance that exists around the world to the big business takeover of farming and agriculture. Flash Radio's team of roving reporters joined this huge protest to find out why people are so concerned.
that in our region 500 farmers are against this nuclear waste.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the issue? Why they get what's there? What is being stored in the nuclear waste? What's happening?
Yes, atomic waste.
Yeah, but how much or since when? Or
high level.
Okay.
And it comes from La Hague, from France,
okay,
to us, back to us. It's this so-called German atomic waste, and they brought it in former times to France, and then now we have to set the government said we have to take our own waste back,
yeah.
And in our region the plan is to bring it under the earth, but it is a plan, still a plan.
Meantime, it's in a storage.
It is in a open storage,
okay,
like many storages in the country. Yes, there's no care, special care for this. No.
How long will it stay there?
How long?
Yeah, forever.
Forever. Yes. 2 million years, perhaps. Yeah.
What can they do instead? What's the solution? What can they do differently?
First, stop the nuclear power plants and then think about it.
Yeah.
And not producing waste. Yeah. Meanwhile, no one knows where this waste could have been deposited. So we are absolutely against nuclear power plants, and so in this case the atomic industry wants to come back by the climate catastrophe or changing the climate. Especially the USA,
yeah,
wants to reform the nuclear power industry, and we are here to be against it.
Well, what do you want to see instead of the nuclear power industry? What kind of energy?
Ecologic industries. We have many windmills, or I don't know in English the words for biologic mass production.
Biomass.
Okay,
yeah,
that's it.
Said you run a fair trade shop. Can you tell me a little bit about how that? What's the difference between what you sell and what's sold in other places?
The difference is that what we sell, the products, is first of all we're paying the fair price for the products we sell. So if we get them from the producers in their producing countries, then it's guaranteed that they get the money they need for producing it. And a little bit more for develop themselves and their countries and small city. No, smaller. Their villages, I'm sorry. Yeah. And on the other hand, it's that we guarantee Handelsaffäre. That we are going to. What's the word? The trade. Handelsbeziehung, trade relations over a long time.
Ich komme aus Berlin gerade, hier mit dem Zug, der super voll war.
I just came from Berlin on a train which was packed. Politically, I'm here with ATTAC, as you can see. Apart from that, I'm a pensioner. Formerly, I was a teacher. I am here because I am against the unfair treatment of the world and against the fact that the 8 strongest countries decide for the rest of the world. Are there examples of this bad treatment or any focal points for you? Yes, a good example is with Cameroon. For example, farmers in the EU get money, they get grants, so that they can sell their products relatively cheaper. A dramatic example around this is with chicken, that whatever production is left over here in Europe, like for example chicken giblets, is deeply frozen and sent off to Africa, for example to Cameroon, and the farmers there, who have only small livestock husbandry, they cannot sell their meat anymore because they can't compete with the subventioned products sent over from Europe. That for me is a very bad example. That's why I demonstrate with Justice Now. And we have a large chicken with us that is 3 meters tall, and that is a chicken from Cameroon. And what would you wish for the 8 strongest people to do? Yeah, I don't even know if one could actually wish for something from them, which they could achieve. But I wish not just that Africa gets financial support, but that the rich countries don't drain themselves through customs, and that the poor countries are not forced to leave everything in their countries. They can be charged very high customs. At the moment, it's like if they get money from the World Bank, then it's like a support to them so that they can circulate their own goods in their own countries. And this, I think, is a dilemma. And I think the G8 cannot solve this. They are too one-sided. They are only orientating towards their own profit. You've worked quite a lot on this. What have you built? We've built a puppet. We've built the WTO puppet, the World Trade Organization. She belongs to a street theater play. There is another puppet representing fair trade, and together they make the play, She is Not Alone. And that's going to be played during the demonstration. Yes. And what's going on in the play? It is about patenting, the patenting of rice, and there are, so to say, farmers. And the WTO traps the farmers, they promise them a lot, but they don't give them anything. Instead, they take the opportunity off them to grow their rice through patenting. But fair trade gives the rice farmers back the possibility to trade their rice in a fair price and to bring their rice into the market under fair trading terms. So fair trade opposes itself completely against the WTO. And where is this happening? In which countries? There are already a few countries where rice is under patent law, in India among others. And that's just an example. There are many products already under patent law. What would you wish for the G8 to do? By all means, to stop patenting goods, food products, and plants and animals. This must stop immediately. It's not about patenting technical equipment, it's about patenting life.
Since the end of last week, activists from different political campaigns, alongside independent individuals, have been gathering at protest camps around the city of Rostock. The various camps are overcrowded, with more than 6,000 people staying at one camp alone. The camps have been organized into different areas, or barrios as they are known locally. Camp assemblies are called to discuss and organize issues such as the provision of services, including food, cleaning, and the running of an independent media center. Reporters from Flash Radio interviewed a wide range of people to find out what's been happening.
These camps need a lot of planning beforehand, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Were you involved in the planning of it?
I didn't plan to be involved in the planning, but when I came there was only like 40 people here and a lot to do, so I just...
Oh, so it really all came together when people just arrived?
Yeah, exactly. There was like the organisers, and then when people arrived, everyone just...
And they grabbed you and said, get involved?
Yeah, exactly.
Particular barrio or group?
No, I'm not. I just came as an individual.
What was your role with helping set up?
The main thing I did was like organise a structure for camp meetings and a way for camp to be able to communicate and make decisions in emergencies, and try to work out a system for security. The rabbits. No, that wasn't obviously not my idea. I tried to sort it out a bit. Yeah, that's it basically.
Is there an organised way of communicating, as in... you know, you've got channels for communication.
I think the main point is the camp meetings, which happen every day, and that's like for me, because also I didn't come with a barrier or a group. It's not like such an organised system. I don't think it should be. So basically the meetings are a way for everyone to communicate with each other in the open. Also, if people are in barrios, they're represented by their barrios to cut down the amount of people trying to shout over each other.
What's your name?
Shimri Tzameret.
Where do you come from?
I come from Jerusalem.
What are you doing in this camp? What have you been doing?
Well, I helped to form the press team, and I helped to organize the decision-making process, which was authorized in consensus yesterday in the camp meeting.
So all the assemblies where all the barrios organize themselves together, right?
The idea is that every barrio have all organize themselves, and they should try to have a barrio meeting every day, and then send a representative to the camp meeting, where issues that cannot be solved on the barrio level would be solved, and that in all these places the decisions are made in consensus.
So what barriers do you have up to this point in this camp?
There's the block G8 barrio, there's the attack barrio, there's the what's solid, which is a German youth movement, it's a left youth movement. There's the socialist, like a few different socialist groups barrios. There's me and Anna were in the individual barrio, individualists barrio.
There's the hedonist barrio.
Ah, yeah, of course. And the hedonist, how can I forget? And there's the hedonist barrio.
When did you arrive here in the camp?
5 days ago.
Mm-hmm. How many people were there?
30, 40
people.
Yeah.
And beginning of it. And what happened in the next days?
It grew.
And how many people are here at this point, more or less?
I think a few thousands. I think
6,000 organization, yeah. In a way. There's a self-organization.
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of food is served to the protesters?
So far I've eaten lots of oats. Lots and lots of oats and a few seeds.
Hiking food.
Yeah, I've only had breakfast here so far because we were out yesterday. You ate here last night. What did you have last night?
Couscous. Sauce. Then it was vegetable meat, tomato, and a salad with what's his name? It's red. It's
tomato?
Red. No.
Beetroot.
So you've been working in the press team these days.
Right.
Can you tell us how it works?
Yeah. Okay. So we just saw that we needed some people to guide those press teams through the camp, because there are many people who don't want to be photographed or talk to at all. And we sit here in front of the whole camp, and then the journalists come to us, and we explain them how it works, that there are some parts where they can film or take pictures, and there are some where they cannot. And then we wear this red scarf, that everyone knows who we are, and that we guide them, and that they are not on their own. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Media deal with it.
Mainly, but it's everyone. It's also it's private persons, it's students doing films for the university, or it's just to control kind of everyone, because most people don't want private pictures to be taken also on the campsite.
And how have been journalists been behaving up to this point?
Maybe around 30 or 40, I cannot exactly tell you. But
did they behave well? Did they?
Most of them. Yeah. There were some who tried to cheat us, but most of them were acting quite okay.
And what kind of media came to the camp?
A lot of German media, of course, but we also had Russian teams, Swedish teams, US-American teams.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The G8 will run until Friday the 8th of June, and many of the decisions made by this powerful group will have a lasting impact on the nature of the world and will make still worse the dire conditions in which many people are forced to live. People from across the globe are continuing to converge on the areas surrounding the summit, with the intention of highlighting the possibility of a viable and equitable alternative to the agenda being set by global capitalists. Flash Radio will continue to podcast every day until the end of the summit, bringing you the voices denied a platform through much of the mainstream media. Stay tuned and keep in touch. Flash Radio, www.flashradio.wordpress.com.